I'll be reading from 1 Colossians 15 through 20. If you would like to follow along, I'll be in the Pew Bible at page 983. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross.
Good evening. All right. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity tonight for all of us to be here. I ask that as we go over your word tonight, you open our ears and soften our hearts. Make our hearts fertile ground for your word that we can bear fruit in our lives. Lord, I ask you to bless our time here together that it may bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so now if everyone would please take their systematic theology books and open up to chapter 26. Brian, you didn't get my email? All right, well, I guess that plan's out the window. All right, I guess I'll just have to wing it. Never mind. All right, well, have you ever had someone recommend a book that you didn't know much about? A few years back, I found myself in this situation where Brian recommended that I go through Systematic Theology by Wayne Grudem with him. While I trust Brian, I knew nothing about who Wayne Grudem was. I needed to find out who this guy is and if he was someone I could trust before I decided to dedicate multiple, and I mean multiple hours of my time reading this book. Usually the easiest way to do this is to find the About the Author section. Either on the inside cover or on the back of the book, you'll find the section with one or two paragraphs stating who the author is, something about his personal life, and also his bona fides. I've always wanted to use that term. Bona fides. In the King James Version of the Bible, Hebrews 12:2 states that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. When I look at the verses here in Colossians, I can't help but think that this is Paul's about the author for Jesus. At this time in Colossae, there were many influences on the church from other religions. Just as there is now, there were many people who claimed that Jesus wasn't who the Colossians thought he was or as important as they made him out to be. Paul heard these things and wanted to make sure that the Colossians remained strong in their faith and they knew exactly who Jesus is. So let's take a look at what Paul wanted them to know. In verse 15, it states two things about Jesus. First, he is the image of the invisible God. And second, he is the firstborn of all creation. So what does it mean that he is the image of the invisible God? In John 14:9, Jesus states that whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus wasn't just made in the image of God as was man in Genesis. He is the image of God. With Jesus, we see who God truly is. So, how can Jesus be the firstborn of all creation? There are many people who refer to this verse and use it as a gotcha verse. They'll say, if he's the firstborn, he was created, he can't possibly be God. This verse isn't stating that Jesus was the first created. It's stating that he is over all that has been created. Psalm 89:27 says of David, and I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of earth. David was neither the firstborn of his father Jesse, nor the first king of Israel. It's a position that was given to him by God. As with David, firstborn is a position given to Jesus. Verse 16 goes on to show why Jesus couldn't have been created. It states that, "For by him all things were created. All things were created through him and for him." Jesus is the creator. The creator cannot create himself. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Without Jesus, neither you nor I would be here. Whether it's something you consider good or bad, all things were created by him and for his glory." Verse 17 states that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus not only created all things, he sustains all things. In Hebrews 1:3, it states, "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power." When I used to work afternoons, I'd get home around 12:30 at night. And one of my favorite things to do when I got home was have my wife, who was probably really annoyed at this, but I'd have her come outside with me, sit on our swing, and look at the moon and stars at 12:30 at night. Tonight, when you get home, take a minute. Don't wait till 12:30. Look up into the sky and realize the greatness of God's creation. It's very humbling, and it puts things into perspective when you consider how vast the universe and how great our God is. Even though there is so much out there, how amazing is it that Jesus cares enough about you and me that we're even here? He is what sustains us in everything that we see. Amen. If he were to stop for just a moment, everything would cease to exist. In verse 18, we see three things as to how Jesus relates to the church. First, we see that he is the head of the body. The church cannot function without Jesus, or the church cannot function if Jesus is not the head of it. We look to him. He is our shepherd and the one who guides us. If you ever find yourself at a church where everything they do doesn't point to Jesus, run. Second, it says he is the firstborn from the dead. Simply put, he is our Savior. 1 Corinthians 15:20-22 says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." There are multiple times in the Bible where people are brought back from the dead. From when Elijah raised the widow's son, to when Lazarus was raised by Jesus. All of these that were brought back would have to face death again. Jesus is the first to overcome death so that through him we will have everlasting life. He is our Savior. The third thing we see is that in everything, he might be preeminent. Now, I might be the only one, but I had to look up preeminent to make sure I understood exactly what it meant. For any that might be like me, it means surpassing all others. He is what everything comes to. Earlier, I talked about looking up into the night sky and being amazed. There is nothing in this world or universe that surpasses Jesus. Verse 19, it says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." This verse right here is on par for me with the Trinity and predestination. Somehow we have to wrap our head around Jesus being fully God and fully man. With the Trinity, we have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all three fully God, yet they all make up who God is. Likewise with Jesus, we have one person, but we have two distinct natures. They don't mix and create something new, nor do they dilute one another and make him less God or less man. Now we come to the final thing that Paul wants us to know about Jesus. He is the only one who can reconcile us with God. Verse 20 says, "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Does this mean that everyone will end up in heaven? No. There will come a time when every knee shall bow before Jesus, and they will have to come to terms with who Jesus is, regardless of what they thought. John 3:16-19 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God, the only Son of God." How beautiful and loving is this? All we have to do is believe in him, because Jesus has done the rest. We can't earn our way into heaven. The only thing that can reconcile us with God is Jesus. Oftentimes, to try to understand this love, I look at my relationship with my kids. My kids want me to be proud of them, and I am, more than they know. But regardless of how many times I tell them that I'm proud of them, when they excel at something, whether it's a test or something else, they come to me and let me know to try to make me more proud. In contrast, when I have to discipline them for something that they've done wrong, they tend to get upset and think that Dad doesn't love them anymore. Regardless of what they do, I can't love them more or less than I already do. They just have to have faith that I do love them no matter what. So, the next time someone recommends a book to you, look for the about the author section to find out who is writing this book. Looking back over these verses, I can't help but get excited. Jesus is truly the author and finisher of our faith. Paul's about the author to the Colossians sums up who Jesus is perfectly. He leaves no room for questions on who Jesus is and whether or not he is sufficient for us all. In verse 15, "Do you want to see God? Look to Jesus." 16, "Do you want to know who the Creator is? Look to Jesus." 17, "Do you want to know who the Sustainer of all things is? Look to Jesus." 18, "Do you want to know who is preeminent over all things? Look to Jesus." 19, "Do you want to know who God is? Look to Jesus." And finally, verse 20, "Do you want to know who our Savior is? Look to Jesus." How blessed are we to have Jesus in our lives. Finally, to finish tonight, I wanted to end with reading the Lord's Prayer. Hopefully you all got a copy of that. If you'd like to read along with me, by all means, join in. Otherwise, I'll just do it by myself. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."